All right, go ahead and give your neighbor a high five, and you can go ahead and be seated, and let's jump into the message. New thing, new ways. New thing, new ways. In that scripture, you see that God is doing a new thing. New thing, but with every new thing comes new ways. What do y'all think when you think about a new thing being released or a new release? I'll tell you what I think about, because it in the world today, there's so many new things that are coming out. There's always something new. One of the things, I'm a golfer. I'm going to let you into my personal life. I love to golf. Golfing is great. And one of the new things that comes out is like new clubs all the time. You get new clubs, new driver, new wedges, whatever, new irons all the time. Every year, there's always something new. And throughout the year, there's always something new. All promising to fix your swing flaws. All promising to make you better. Ultimately, what it is just another reason to give excuse for your bad golf game. Come on, somebody. You can blame it on the clubs. Just another club to blame it on, right? Well, ladies, I don't want to leave you out. What about the new bag or the new purse that comes out every so often? Like, man, the new fresh style. Like, I want to buy it. I want to get it. I want it'll go great with my outfit when I walk around with it. It's so cool. And you know, this old one, it was cool for a while, but now I got to set it aside, and now I got to get something new. And all the ladies said, amen. You can never have enough bags or purses, right, ladies? Come on. Some said amen, some said woo, and some, like, you know, the guys were like, oh, the pastor, why are you talking about that? All right. The other thing that I think about that we can all relate to, and maybe just 99% of us, okay, can relate to, is the iPhone. Come on, somebody. The other 1%, y'all need to get on board. Let's go. 99% is the iPhone. Did you know that the iPhone came out in 2007? And since then, we've seen 14 versions of the iPhone and 34 iterations of it. Come on, somebody, is that a lot? Meaning, if you bought an iPhone last week, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but another iPhone's coming out next month. Come on. That's how it works, right? Well, all this to give you new promises and make you think better, be better, what have you, organize you more, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. But all these things, when you think of a new thing, there's always a new release, new thing coming into town, and we're there to eat it all up and take it. The world's operated that way, but I want to let you know that God has always operated that way. From the beginning of time, this is not a world thing. This is a God thing. God said, do you not see it? I'm doing a new thing. He said, forget the former things. And in verse 17 and 18, 16 through 18, he's talking about, you know what he's talking about? He was referencing him leading the people of Israel through the Red Sea and defeating the Egyptian army because they all came under the water in the Red Sea. And he's telling them, forget that victory and forget all that. I got a new thing coming, a new way coming. And you know, just like all those things that I mentioned with the new things, with the clubs or the bag or the phone or whatever you could think of with shoes or clothes or new cars, a new home, whatever it may be, a new neighborhood you start living in, all these things, a new, they all promise something new. They all promise you to be better, feel better, look better, fix your flaws, you know, and give you more enjoyment. They all promise something new. Like I said, God's the same way. When he promises something new, you can best believe that when you step into it, you'll get every single benefit and blessing that he has to give to you from it. Can I get an amen? New thing, new ways. Nothing different that God has operated from, that the world does, that God has operated from. And I believe in this moment, today, God is going to show you that you are in a new thing. We're in the middle of our legacy series. We're in the year of revival, and God has poured out his spirit in such a great and new way to Freedom House that we have never seen before. With our conference and then with just our life camp, and just seeing how God is pouring out, setting people free, allowing young people to be set free, to be delivered, to walk in freedom, to have an encounter, and allowing gifts to rise up in the house. It's beautiful. But that's going to require a new way. A new way. How many of y'all know that when you get that new thing, you know, when I get a new driver, I'm not swinging with two drivers. I'm swinging with the newest driver. The old one has to be put down. When you get that new bag, ladies, you're not walking around with the old bag and the new bag. You're walking around with the new bag, not the old one. And then when you're walking around with your iPhone, like, you got the new one, you don't got the old one. As a matter of fact, when you get a new iPhone, you have to trade in. You have to release the old thing to receive the new thing and the new promises that come with it. So with the new thing that God is doing, we got to step into new ways and release the old ways that we have. Can I get amen? So with that, this is what I want to do. In order for us to get to the new promise of the new thing just released, we need to let go of the old. So I'm going to help you out. Y'all have your note sheet right here. This is what I want you to do. On the back of your note sheet, you're going to write old on top, line down the middle, and new on the other side. I'm not going to tell you what to put on there. I may suggest some things to you, but I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you on what to put on the old. The old things that you need to release so that you can step into the new. And I believe the Holy Spirit will tell you some of the new things that you need to do as well. Now you do this, take it home, meditate on it, pray on it, and God will show you the next steps. We'll show you the next steps as well. But I want you to do that and allow God to speak to you. And then as we speak, as the message is going on, you're going to be writing things down on there. So God has always worked this way. The Bible says, Isaiah 43:18-19, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. You can read all throughout the Bible that there is a thematic underlying thing that God is doing, that every time he pours out something new, whenever God does something new, it's always with the intention of you letting go of something old. All the time. You got to let go of something else. So he's doing something new at Freedom House Church. He's doing something new in your legacy that you're leaving behind here. We're in the legacy series. So as he's pouring something new, legacies are changing. You got to ditch the old ways of the old legacy and step into the new ways of the new legacy. You may have broken legacy before, a messed up legacy before, so you cannot take from the old ways into the new legacy of blessing and abundance that God has for you. The new legacy of purpose and prosperity that God has for you and your family and your children. Can I get an amen? We got to let go of the old. We got to let go of the old. Old ways like what? So let me just give you examples. And like I said, I may suggest things. And some of these things might be suggestions to you. You got to let go of the old ways. Like it's okay to drink habitually. Old way of doing things. Like, man, it's not hurting me, you know, I can handle it. But the truth is, when you drink habitually or you drink at all, the Bible also tells us to not be a stumbling block. So if you are drinking, people might be looking at you and they'd be thinking, oh, if that person can do it, then perhaps I can do it. But what you don't know, when you do it, it doesn't mess with you, but when they do it, it messes them up, and now that's a stumbling block. I get amen? Not a lot of amens in there. I have to make you guys say amen. Come on, somebody. So you gotta think about those things. Or maybe there's an old way of, weed is legal, so it's okay to smoke it every once in a while. Come on, it's okay to talk poorly to your wife because you're the man of the house. You know, you demand respect. You're that person, so it's okay to talk to her in a way that demeans her, and it's not good. The old way of it's okay to talk down to your kids and call them names and make them feel unloved. Those are old ways you got to let go. Or maybe it's okay, you feel like, you know, what the world's teaching right now, it's like it's okay to feel like a girl or like a boy, or like you want to identify yourself as a pronoun or binary or non-binary. That's confusion. Or maybe it's, man, it's okay to look at pornography because it's normal. You know, he's a you know, young boy, he's a young girl, they're exploring their sexuality, they're just trying to figure things out. It's okay. Or it's okay to bury your head and work 70 to 80 hours a week while you're ignoring your family, your wife, your children, or the other way around, your husband and children. Or maybe, since we're in church, it's okay not to serve because I don't want to. Maybe that's something that needs to go the old way of thinking and let go of. Or maybe it's okay to lead my kids to the baseball field, football field, or whatever field or court on a Sunday and not to church. Nothing's wrong with that. You know, I don't mess with parents right now. They get defensive of their kids right now. So, but you do need to be concerned with their spiritual development. Or how about this? Let's make it personal. Maybe some of you are thinking, you have some old ways of thinking or just present ways of thinking that need to be let go of. Like, no one cares about me. I'm worthless. This is the best my marriage is ever going to get, so I might as well just live with it and go with it and flow with it. My anxiety is normal. I just have to live this way. This is a normal thing, and they talk about it all the time on the news and media, and they even preach about it, so it must be normal. So I'm a normal. I should be living in anxiety because it's normal. Or maybe depression is just what I have to deal with for the rest of my life. I'm always have to deal with this giant in my life. Or maybe it's thoughts of, I have no purpose. I don't even know why God created me. I don't even know why I'm in church. Or maybe it's, my kids are never going to get saved. They're so too far gone, too far lost. Salvation's never going to come to my house. Or maybe I'm always going to be broke. I'm never going to have more than enough. All those things that I messaged, or I said in this message right now, all those things should go in the old ways. All those things. And if you feel those things, I want to let you know that God loves you. He cares about you. He's created you with a purpose and a future. And I also want to let you know that God wants you to live blessed. The Bible says that the devil, the enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come. Jesus has come to bring life and life to the full. An abundant life. So you are meant to live a life of abundance. And what does abundance mean? A life of blessing. You are made to live a life of blessing in the new way. But you cannot live a life of blessing doing old things in old ways. Can I get an amen? God did not just send his son Jesus so that you can have salvation and have a new heart, because that's what happens when you receive Jesus. You get a new heart. But he wants you to have a new way of living, new way of thinking, new way of seeing, new way of doing, new way of listening, new way of being, so that you can step into every single blessing. What would it say about the God who's the God of all, the Lord of all, King of all, the God who has tons of promises in his word for all of us, if he had his children like us? We are his children. Say, we are his children. To live a life that's not blessed. If my kids were living a life that was all jacked up, messed up, because I didn't care for them, because I didn't provide for them, that I didn't do certain things for them, what would that say about me as their father? Let me tell you something. God's the same way. He wants you to live a life that is blessed and is abundant and prosperous, to have prosperity in your health, in your mental well-being, in your soul, in your finances. He wants you to be blessed, because that's the type of God he is. He's a God of blessing. Amen? But in order to step into that, we got to step into the new ways as he's pouring out that new thing. We can't rely on the old. We can't rely on the past. If there's a new thing, and I said it earlier, that God's doing, then we got to find the new way of being and doing. Can I get an amen? Now, how do we do that? So what do you do? What do you do? Tell your neighbor, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Yeah, you can say that. What do you do, bro? Come on, somebody. I like that one. What do you do? I'm going to help you. So I'm just going to leave you here. I'm going to help you. But I'm going to set you up a little bit more, okay? A little bit more. We're going to go through the setup more, and then we're going to get into the points, and then we're going to go quick once we get to the points. It starts with your thinking. Somebody say, it starts with your thinking. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. So you have to change the way you think. Again, I already mentioned it. Jesus changes the heart through salvation, but the heart transplant, the heart change through salvation, it doesn't stop there. You have to change the way you think. So now you got a new heart, but you still got the old way. So, and at times, I don't want to discount this, sometimes at moment of salvation, everything changes, including mine. But I don't know if you are like me, but for me, I had to transform the mind. It didn't just automatically change for me. So if you don't change transform the mind, while you have a changed heart, then you're always going to be living in divine frustration, wondering like, why am I not blessed? Why am I dealing with these thoughts? Why am I still dealing with these old ways, old habits, old disciplines, the way I'm talking, I'm doing, I'm being, all that. You're going to be dealing with all that. So we need to change our mind. Without a transformed mind, you will not know what God calls good and what he calls evil. The Bible says this, Isaiah 5:20 says, doom to you who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness in place of light and light in place of darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, when we're in the old ways of thinking, if our mind is not transformed, we're going to think that those old ways are still good. Like, my kids came back from a life camp, and and you're going to start thinking like, man, I'm going to parent them the same way. But a new thing has taken place, so there just needs to be a new modification or a new way of parenting them now. New heart, give your life to Christ. There needs to be a new way in how you walk out that new life in Christ. You can't walk out that new life in Christ with the old ways. But if you don't have a transformed mind, you will not know what that good way is, and you'll still be operating out of a way that you think is good and that God wants you to walk. But in actuality, he doesn't want you walking that old way anymore, because that old way has messed you up and has traumatized you because your parents used it on you. A mind that is not transformed by God will always find a way to rationalize what they are doing is good. I'm going to say it again. A mind that is not transformed by God will always find a way to rationalize what they are doing is good. If you really want to know what God's good and perfect will is for your life, then you have to transform your mind. It's not enough to think on your own and be like, I think this is right. Or ask other people who go to church, I think this is right for my life. You got to find what that new way is for you. 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Come on, somebody. Praise God that God gives us a peace that this world can't give. The Bible says God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So what is the opposite of confusion? Some would say clarity, and that's not wrong. But biblically, there's a more right answer. The opposite of confusion is peace. So if I was the enemy, if I was the devil, I would do everything to confuse you so you have no peace. And many of you in here have no peace because you're confused by the decisions you have to make, or by all the information that you've been inundated with to make the decision you need to make, that you got no peace about it. So you're always jumping around from person to person, or from podcast to podcast, or from book to book, trying to figure out what is the right thing. And you're left confused and you got no peace. When you are in no peace, then you got to look like, man, am I confused in an area of my life? Because the opposite of confusion is peace. So what does that mean? Let me read it to you. I'm going to read it two times because it's something that you need to write down right here. When you look first for clarity in times of confusion, you rarely find peace. But if you look for the peace of God in times of confusion, you will always get clarity. I'm going to say it again. When you look first for clarity in times of confusion, you rarely find peace. But if you look for the peace of God in times of confusion, you will always get clarity. A confused mind is not a transformed mind. So if you're still running on a confused outlook, then you need to refine and transform your mind more. That's why God says, forget the former things of the past. I'm making a new way in the wilderness. Because the former things in the past are what's going to confuse you. If you're constantly looking to the past to filter your decisions and how to live with the new thing that God has given you, the new legacy that he's entrusted you with, then you're always going to be in confusion and lacking peace. But when you look to the peace of God, he'll give you the clarity that you need in how you lead this new thing that God has given you. It's not going to come through your old ways, your hurt ways, the ways that brought forth pain, the ways that brought forth unforgiveness, the ways that brought forth a place of unhealthy relationships, the old ways that you were raised in. It's going to come from the new way. Y'all still writing old ways, old ways, old ways? Make sure you're writing those old ways. You don't have to turn it into me, just let you know. It was old ways, but, and then make sure you write the new. A confused mind is not a transformed mind. So where it starts here, three areas to replace the old with the new. Area number one, what you listen to. What you listen to. You got to guard your ears, church. You got to guard your ears. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, then there are things that you're listening to that will also build your faith for other things that you shouldn't be having faith in. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. It builds your faith. You're in here, you're Sunday, you're building your faith. But also you got some bad influences in your life that you're listening to that's building something else that you shouldn't be putting faith in. So you got some of you have old friends, come on somebody, that you're giving them too much space in how you listen to them and too much property in your ears to and because of what they're saying. And none of that's good, none of that's biblical, none of it's godly. and you're listening to those things. You're listening to music you probably shouldn't be listening to. You're like, I don't like when the preacher talks about that. Remember, I'm here to suggest things, not tell you. You take it up between you and God and conviction of the Holy Spirit right now. But some of y'all are listening to stuff that you shouldn't be listening to. Like, you just shouldn't. I'm not telling that you need to be like me where you listen to worship music 24/7. Come on, I'm just kidding. But what I am saying, you gotta, man, this stuff's not good for me. All they do is cuss every other line. You know? You're trying to be relevant, and that's cool and all, but, you know, don't be so relevant that you lose your holiness. So some of the things you listen to, the people you talk to, and I would never tell this, like, some of you do need to get new friends, but I want to let you know, we are in the middle, or we just started connect groups. You want to get new friends? Come on, somebody, get into a connect group, develop connect groups, develop relationships in connect groups, and it'll be a lot easier to let go of those friends. It will. It really will. You know, I'm telling you, you put it on your list and what you need to do. Anyone with ears to hear, Matthew 11:15, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And let me read this one too. 1 Kings 19:12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, still a still small voice. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. God wants you to have an ear to listen to him and understand what he's saying and what he's doing in this new thing. So you have to guard your ears and watch what you listen to, because the more you just bring about different things that you're listening to, whether it be to ideologies or philosophies or what have you, and then that's going to cloud your spiritual ear, and it's going to keep you from listening to God. The Bible says, anyone that hears to hear, let him hear, listen, let him understand. So he wants you to understand. And then the First Kings right there that I've referenced right there, it was Elijah, and he's there's an earthquake, there's a fire, but he heard God in a still small voice. How many of you can agree that some of the things that are going on in this world is a little bit chaotic? It's not. With all the things that are going on in this world that are chaotic, you have to develop a spiritual ear so that you can listen and hear to that still small voice of God so you can navigate through it. That's what Elijah was doing. He didn't hear it in the earthquake or in the fire. He heard it in the still small voice. But if you got so many things clouding your ear, you will never be able to listen to what God is trying to tell you in this new thing that he's releasing so that you can walk in the new way. Amen? Develop your ear to hear. Point number two, what you're looking at. What you're looking at. Come on, some of y'all looking on Instagram, some of the things that are on there you shouldn't be looking at. You shouldn't be following. You shouldn't be zooming in, pinching and zooming in. Come on, somebody. Some of these YouTube channels that you're following, subscribe to, you should be unsubscribing. You should have a parental filter on there. You think it's for your kids, it's probably better for you. Come on, somebody. Some of these Netflix series that you're watching, you think like, oh, he's touching on the Netflix. No one's going to laugh now. Like, you shouldn't be watching. You just shouldn't. Some of these things you're looking at, these websites you're going to, that you should not have your eyes go there. You want to know why? Ask me why. Job chapter 31, verse 7 says this. Job had a hard time. You know, he was going through some testing, and he was in this moment. This is just one scripture from his prayer to God about him just trying to make himself holy before him. And he says this: he's like, if my steps have turned from the path, if my heart has been led by my eyes, or if my hands have been defiled. So focus on the middle. If my heart has been led by my eyes, your eyes lead your heart. I don't know if many of you knew that, but your eyes lead your heart. So whatever you're looking at is going to lead your heart in that direction. So if you don't guard your eyes, your heart is going to lead in the direction of what you've been putting your eyes to all the time. So that's why it's hard. It's hard to break an addiction, because your eyes are on it all the time. And you're trying to break it by still being around it. But your eyes are still there, and your heart is just still going to be there because it leads your heart. Trying to break so many things, but your eyes are leading your heart. And you think you can separate, like, I'm strong enough. I got the Spirit of God. And yes, you do have the Spirit of God. You do have the joy of the Lord, which brings you strength. And you do have the Holy Spirit that gives you power. But if you're purposely putting yourself in positions where your eye is leading you to places that you shouldn't be, it's your eyes are connecting your heart, and your heart's always going to follow what your eyes do. Always. So you got to stop watching some of the things, seeing some of the things, looking at some of the things. You know, and I'm not talking about your husband or wife when they get you irritated. Come on, somebody. Just teasing. Sorry. You have to watch what you're looking at. Watch what you're looking at. What you're looking at is leading your heart. Your eyes like a lamp. Matthew 6, 22, 23, your eyes like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is darkness? That darkness is. Your eyes lead your heart. Your eyes lead your heart. Protect your eyes and what you're looking at. Right now, write some of the old ways, some of the things that you're looking at that need to be in the old. You got to write that. You can replace it with something new or what have you, and let the Holy Spirit take it. But you got to write some of the things that you're listening to down here, people you're listening to down here, podcasts, whatever, YouTubes, Instagram, social media, TikToks, whatever. You got to put it in the old ways because it's leading you. Point number three, what you're saying. Luke 6:45, this is one of my favorite points right here because it ties everything up. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Okay. So the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So whatever your mouth is speaking, that's what's in your heart. Okay. But I love this. So I moved on from number two, but I'm going to go back to number two for just a little bit. The Bible says in Job 31:7 that the eyes are led by the heart. So whatever you see is leading your heart. And what's in your heart is being spoken out of your mouth. So there's a connection. Do you see that? Like, man, I want to change the way I speak. Well, let's go to the heart. Okay, what's in the heart? Well, what am I looking at? Starts with your eyes. Where your eyes are leading you, leads your heart. And the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You cannot be like, oh man, I can separate how I talk. I joke around like this all the time, you know. You need to change. If that's how you joke around all the time before you're with Christ, then you need to change that. That's already automatic right there. If that's how you talk and it's still causing you to act out and burst out and cuss out, then you need to change that. You need to change it. 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 That's an old way. The way you talk, how you used to be, or how you used to be before Christ, you just stop that. You're like, oh, but that's how they talk on the construction sites. That's how we talk at work. That's how we talk on our team, on a sports team. That's how we talk on the basketball courts or what have you. That's how we talk. That's how we talk in the house. We just cuss. We just keep it real. That's not real. That's the fake you. Y'all think that's the real you. That's the fake you. I'm going to tell you why. Let me show you. 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 The Bible says right here, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. This is James 3, 9 through 10. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. This should not be. This is James, Jesus' brother. Come on, somebody. He said, this should not be. So let me tell you right now. So that's the fake you. You heard me say that. Yes, that's the fake you. That's not you being real. That's you being fake. There's a reason they call them bad words, four-letter words, cuss words, and then this is my all-time favorite, curse words. But many of you say bad words, you know, four-letter words. They don't want to say the curse, but in actuality, it's just a curse word. Because that curse word was never developed or created to be good. It's a curse word. When people come to me and say, Pastor Louis, where should I start reading the Bible? There's two places I always lead them, depending on who I'm talking to and the questions they're asking, because I'll pull from them and ask to gauge where to put them. Sometimes I recommend two books or sometimes one. But the two books that I always recommend are the book of John, because it builds your faith. Come on, somebody. And the book number two is James, because it teaches you how to be a Christian. So if you want to know how to be a Christian, you look at the book of James. So in this case, I'm teaching us how to be a Christian, especially in how we talk. And James says these things should not be cursing and praising out of our mouth. This should not be. So this is not my opinion. This is biblical. So all that cursing, the four-letter words, the F words, the S word, all that you're doing, and some of this is touching on toes, I could tell, but I want you to know this so that you're more empowered going out and knowing how to live for Christ and not against him and what he's trying to do in your life with this new thing. Because y'all got a new thing, you're in Freedom House Church, but it's going to require a new way in how you talk. So when you're cursing, the Bible tells us we are to encourage people, build up people in the faith, it says. Build each other up. How often? Daily, the Bible says. So when you're cussing out your wife, you're cussing out your children, you're cussing out your employees, your coworkers, or your teammates, or even if you do it jokingly, you are still cursing. You need to change that. I'm going to get the preacher out of me. You need to change that. You need to stop cursing. You need to stop saying those things. Because you're working against the very thing that God is trying to do in your life. He has released a new thing inside of you. He's trying to get out the purpose and call that he has given you. But he can't do that if you're still talking the same way and you're still cursing. I want the record to be clear that when you know about Pastor Louis, that he's preaching that cursing is not what you're supposed to be doing. So if you curse around me ever, I want you to feel uncomfortable because you know my stance on it. Why? Because it's a biblical stance, not because it's an opinionated stance. I don't want an opinionated stance. I'm not giving you an opinionated stance. I'm giving you a biblical stance. This should not be. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when you curse Freedom House, you say bad things. I mean bad. Some things are just, you have to talk through. And you're in meetings or what have you, or your relationship, you just have to talk through. And they're not negative things, but they're things you have to work on. But I'm talking about the curse. There's no point to it because it doesn't do anything but bring everything down. When you curse, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You are bringing to life a curse that should never be brought to life. You are to bring to life the good things, the holy things, the things of his word. But again, it all goes back to the mind, because how are you going to know if your mind's not transformed? Because then you're just going to rationalize what is good in your own way. But when you have a transformed mind, you'll know what to say. You'll know what to do. Sometimes it's better not to say anything, regardless of how mad you are. Say, Lord, give me health, self-control. Holy Spirit, self-control. I need that spiritual gift right now. I'm serious. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says sometimes it's better to it's better for a fool to be quiet and thought wise in the presence of, I can't think of the whole verse, but you will be considered wise if you just stay quiet sometimes. That's the point. That's what I'm trying to say. Get your language. You got to cut it. Your eyes lead your heart, and out of your mouth, your heart will speak. Starts with the mind, but start where you know where you're looking. So three areas that you need to release old ways. Number one, what you're listening to. What you're listening to. And make sure I'm telling you, you got to replace these things. So if you're just like cutting things out, let me give you no tip. If you're just cutting things out, it's going to be very hard to step into the new ways. You got to know what that new way is, what a new way is. So if I'm not listening to this, then I have to find other things to listen to that are new. Remember that, church, because you'll always go back. If there's nothing for you to hold on to, you always go back to what you were holding to. So what you listen to, what you're looking at, and what you're saying. And you're like, man, like, okay, so I'm going to help you a little bit more now. So those are practical things. Remember, the old ways, still right on the list. Old, new on one side. New on one side. It takes work. Yes, it does. And it takes strength. The Bible says, I'm going to read this to you. You can all stand to your feet because I'm about to close up right now. In Acts 1:4, the Bible says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So this is Jesus on his ascension, on his way up. He's telling them to wait for the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I was a disciple, I'd be like, wait for the Holy Spirit. You just rose from the grave. Why are you leaving us? Just stay here. This is great. We could testify. Look at this. Jesus rose from the grave. Y'all thought you had him. Well, you don't got him. But you're telling we need the Holy Spirit. But the only way to get the Holy Spirit is for you to leave. Come on. You got to be kidding me. I mean, how many of y'all know if Jesus was alive right now and walking around with us, that'd be a great thing right there. Like, I wouldn't want to let go of him. But yet Jesus is telling him on his way to heaven that you need to let go of me. Because I'm doing a new thing, and this new thing is going to come when I leave. And the Holy Spirit's going to be here when I leave, because that's what you need in this new thing. Let me read you this scripture too as well. John 16:7. But I tell you the truth. This is in the Amplified Bible, and I love how it words this. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, and this is who he's talking about, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you, meaning in relationship with you. So the Holy Spirit is not just a passing thing. It's a relational thing. So how do you get to the place where your mind is transformed and you start switching around what you listen to and what you're saying and all these things and how you're behaving? How do you do all these things? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus left. He promised it in the New Testament when he was leaving, and then he promised it when he was on his way up. He says, wait for the Holy Spirit, but I must go. So in other words, some of us are here. Right now we're holding on to Jesus, which is amazing. Jesus is our everything. Your salvation experience is awesome. But it was one moment that it took to change your heart. And I believe in this moment that Jesus wants to take us from our salvation experience to our Holy Spirit relationship. Notice I didn't say Holy Spirit experience, because you can have an experience with the Holy Spirit at the altars and stuff like that and awesome, but Holy Spirit relationship. So it's not enough just to be saved and have a transformed heart. You need a transformed mind, but you also need the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, you got to let go of this old way. Remember, in the book of Isaiah, he was referencing how they brought him out of captivity from the Egyptians and took him across the Red Sea. And he said, forget that victory. Forget that time of celebration where I brought you out of, I brought you into freedom. He was saying, forget that I'm doing something new. Forget that. And Jesus is right here and said, yeah, forget this right here, me being in person, because what you need is the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to do something new with the Holy Spirit. So as we step into this year of revival, new legacy, we got to let go of the old ways so that we can step into the new ways that God has for us. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not see it, Freedom House Church? You got to think different. You got to listen different. You got to be different. You got to say different. You got to do all these things different, because it's a new thing. A new thing. A new thing. And many of you, you got your notes? Grab your notes. Just have it in your hand. You got the old, maybe like, I didn't write nothing. That's fine. Just write in your hand. I prophesy that God will speak to you. And you write something by tomorrow morning. You just hold it right there, because I know how it is. Man, it's hard still. You're preaching it. You got 35, 40 minutes to preach it. But for me, I got to live it. But I want you to hold on to that, because this is what I want to do, because I'm going to pray for you. I believe, normally, I believe that this message is for everyone. Everyone got spoken to. The Holy Spirit is moving at every stage. No matter what stage in life you are. So this is what I want you to do. As you're holding on to that, I want you to close your eyes and just focus. Not that it makes you more holy, but it allows you to focus in this moment. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit upon you. I want you to put your hands out like you're ready to receive. Like he's about to put something on you right now. This is your moment. What you're about to receive is the power that's going to allow you to live in that new way with the new thing that he's given you so that your legacy can continue to build and be blessed. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Father, for our morning service. I thank you for the word that you let go and you released. Your word, Father, does not return void. Your word is plain in how it's presented. And I pray now, Father, that in this moment, that we receive it in the power that you give it. Holy Spirit, fill every single person in this room right now. May your power be manifested to confirm the very things that they wrote down on their list or that they're thinking about that they haven't wrote down on their list is to be let go of so that they can step into the new thing that you're doing. New thing for them, their children, their children's children, and the legacy that they're leaving behind here, Father. So when they leave, Father God, their family name, their lineage, Father, will be blessed because of the new ways of living and doing and releasing of the old ways, Father. Holy Spirit, fill this room, open up heaven and come in like a mighty rushing wind and fill the rooms of the hearts of the people today and transform their mind. I pray purity upon their eyes, Father, and the things that they see. I pray in this moment a conviction of the Holy Spirit. And some of you might not like this prayer, but I'm going to say it anyways. That you convict them when they try to go back to see the old things, Father God. You bring forth a discomfort to draw them into a new way and to look at something else and look at something holy, look at something godly, look at something uplifting and encouraging, Lord. I pray you develop their spiritual ear as well, Lord Jesus, to hear you and be sensitive, Father. May they guard their ears from the influences that have been bringing them down, Father God, but may they increase their capacity to hear, Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the unction of the Holy Spirit, to walk out in new ways. Give them the strength to let go of what they've been listening to, Lord Jesus. Give them the strength, Father God, to go forth and put forth new disciplines and new things in their life so that they can listen to you better, even when it's chaotic around them, Lord Jesus. I pray you give them new language in Jesus' name as they let go of the cursing, as they let go of the cussing, the all those things, Father. Lord, you bring forth a new language of encouragement, of blessing, so that when out of their mouth, Life comes out. Blessing gets stirred up, Father, because of what they're saying. People get encouraged because of what they're saying. Prophetic gets released because of what they're saying, Lord Jesus. I pray your spirit rise up in them now, Father, so that they can walk in these new ways as you're releasing this new thing, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, come on, let's worship him, church.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.